Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and the callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Just clear on the throat, been gone for a whole week, it's E3 time. My name is Alon, and this is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show.
And my name's Ara. And we've got like 12 people here.
This is a packed house. It's going to get very hot. Rich.
Hello.
Rich is here, as always. Adam, who has joined us in the past.
What's up?
Next to Adam is his wonderful male friend. His name is?
Bart.
I didn't mean anything by that. I just wanted to play with Adam for a second. And
well, he's wonderful, and he's a guy,
there you go. And Joe, who has been on the show in the past as well.
Hello.
So the only newcomer is actually Bart.
The male friend.
The male.
wonderful male friend, thank you.
Yeah. All right, so we got a full house because we all came. We're like, it's after E3. I'm going to bring Rich with me. And Ara's like, I'm going to bring Joe with me. And then Adam's like, I'm going to bring Bart with me. So, okay, so full house. Anybody in Phoenix who wants to come by, you know, bake a cookie and pretty much you'll be in the studio talking about video games. I went to E3. And in fact, Adam was there with me. And that's one reason he's on the show today, because we went to all of our meetings and closed door things together.
Schmoozed.
And in fact, I wasn't, and I did the show last week.
Yeah, Ara was here and ran the show, and I understand he did a wonderful job. Oh, to be honest, I haven't even had the chance to hear it yet.
So he's basically just making up a whole bunch of stuff.
I've heard wonderful things.
But I appreciate the sentiment either
way. What you don't know is when people would call the show last week, they also had my cell number, and they called me to let me know, hey, it's on. And so I know that it went well.
Cool.
But
I didn't totally F things up, so that makes me very happy.
Me too, since we're still here. And Joe was actually there too, but I didn't even know Joe was at E3. But did you enjoy it?
Yeah, I was at the hangar all 3 days on the show floor running the Indiecade Independent Game Showcase.
Oh, that's why I didn't see you. I didn't actually go look at that stuff. Wow.
Traitor.
Didn't you?
I wanted to check it all out, but I went there. It looked really depressing. So I wanted to walk in, and there was like a wall of sadness. And I was like, I like indie games, but these people look sad.
You came at the wrong time.
Are you serious? Like this is like the only bastion of creativity and art in, you know, this morass of, I'm going to run out of words to think of.
What also happened in a lot of the games, like I guess the game Joe makes, Rumblebox, I had already played it on my PC, and I walked by the booth and realized that I pretty much played every game that was there already.
So was the booth depressing because it kind of looked like Square Enix's booth?
Yeah, completely.
Joe, what did you think of Square Enix's booth?
For a long time, I thought it was all videos.
Because no one was standing there playing
anything. There was nobody there playing them.
For 3 days straight, and I was only there on one day. Adam and I went to the Barker Hangar on Thursday, but on Wednesday and on Friday, we went to a bunch of different appointments and things.
Yeah, there actually were more people at the indie booth than at Square Enix.
Yeah, that's weird, but go indie games, I guess.
Well, I want to go back to this video thing. I mean, like, who's going to play RPGs during a trade show anyway?
Well, I mean
does anybody sit there like, I'm going to sample this 5 hours of
but
this
listen,
game?
But listen, you've been to other E3s. And you've seen the people line up like mad for it.
They do line up like mad. I'm just surprised because, you know, in the past E3s that I've gone to, you know, I'll kind of check out the game, but really it makes no sense to actually play it because, okay, I'm moving the cursor through a menu screen. That's great. I mean, you don't really, like, learn a lot because you don't have enough time, especially for an RPG, to kind of, like, evaluate the thing. You may as well just watch it.
Adam and I have comments to make about another RPG game that we saw there.
Oh, two RPG games, actually. Which one are we talking about first?
Two? Well, I think Joe was going to say something here.
I was just going to say, through most of the show, people were crowding the Persona 3 booth. So
really?
There was an RPG there that was getting heavily played.
Oh,
so
interesting.
Bottom line is, people just don't care about Square Enix games.
I don't think Square Enix brought anything worth caring about. I think they're waiting for Tokyo Game Show.
Oh, you mean you're not excited about the 12 versions of Final Fantasy 13 that are coming out?
Yeah, Dragon Quest Monsters.
I don't even know anymore.
Who cares?
So, all three of us that were there, do we have a general list of the things that pissed us off? I should have written these down. I think during the break what I'm going to do is write down the things that pissed me off. So think about those for the next few minutes.
Okay. You know I always carry that list around with me,
yeah,
even though I didn't go?
But this is a specific list of just little little things that were dumb. Joe has his own list written out. All right, so we got a few minutes before the break, so I just want to do some other nice housekeeping. I've gotten a lot of emails lately about people who want to be in PAX. We've talked about the Chatterbox Treasure Box that will have its third year running now at the Penny Arcade Expo in, what, like a month and a half, Rich? Like, it's less than a month and a half.
I don't even know. What's the date today?
Today's the 17th, I think.
All right. Sounds good to me.
It's like a month and a week.
Yeah. All right. So PAX is coming up soon. I should probably buy my plane ticket. But we're going to have the Chatterbox Treasure Box there. You're definitely going to see Rich and I there, and I'm trying to coax Ara into coming as well. And so we need contestants for this. Destructoid will be entering a contestant, and if you're a Destructoid listener, maybe you can talk to them and win their whatever contest they're running to get in. Rich is throwing up.
We're doing something. I don't. Nick's planning something, or Alex, rather.
Alex is doing it. All right, not the point, though. We're getting one from Destructoid, and then Chatterbox is going to produce a contestant. Like, whoever says they want to do it, and I pick them, they will be a contestant. And then I'm thinking, unless you run some major venue and you want to produce the third contestant, I think what I'm going to do is pick from the crowd at Penny Arcade. So there'll be the Penny Arcade rep and the Penny Arcade family who will be rooting that person on, you know, in their third of the audience, and then the Chatterbox rep and the Destructoid rep. And so we'll sort of have these families that they'll go to. Like, if they can't answer a question, maybe it'll go to their group. And if their group gets it right, they can answer another question on stage or something. I haven't worked out all the logistics because it's going to change a little bit from how it was in the past. But it's basically, you know, video game trivia, Jeopardy style, minus all the annoyances of Jeopardy, like who is and what is and why is and whatever.
And Alex Trebek.
Yeah, and Alex Trebek. You're going to have me. Long story short, we need contestants, so keep emailing me. I'm sorry that I haven't emailed back, but I will, and we'll arrange a meeting at the expo so that I can meet the people and decide who we want to do. And really, if you're a girl, I think you're going to win. That's what it comes down to. I've said in the past, because we've never had a girl even on stage. In fact, I don't think we've had a girl approach PAX before. And
that's
so,
a tall order, dude.
It is. If you were a tall order, you would get preference over the short ladies as well. So I'm looking to have some sort of female video game representative, simply because I think it would be interesting, because it hasn't happened yet.
Does the winner get private lessons on your Segway?
Sure, but I won't have the Segway in Seattle, so they'll have to come to Phoenix. Maybe I can find someone in Seattle that has one.
That was actually my highlight of E3, was
really?
Just riding around Santa Monica.
Private lessons by Elon.
That's pretty cool. All right, so point is, email me if you want to be the PAX Chatterbox Treasure Box contestant. If you're a girl, extra points, but you can't be dumb. You got to actually know the video game trivia. So.
And don't pretend you're a girl if you're not, because we'll find out.
Drop them and give me 20. So that's the plan. Now, we're going to talk about E3 a lot.
Wow.
We're going to talk about E3. After the break, we're going to discuss a few of the things that pissed us off, quick little bits. Also want to talk about the games that we played and liked. For instance, Adam and I spent a good 45 minutes playing Eye of Judgment.
Yeah.
Surprise.
Surprisingly fun.
Surprise, I really liked it.
Wow.
Yeah. And so there's going to be a few things we want to talk about there. And then there were press conferences and press briefings that just went horribly wrong.
Konami.
Yeah.
Konami.
That's another thing I want to talk about.
Right.
So,
you want to hear my E3 proxy lineup?
Sure.
I got Ace Combat 6, Gran Turismo 5, Echo Chrome, Castlevania X Chronicles, Stuntman Ignition. Yeah.
Okay. Is that a list of games you want to talk kindly about?
Some kind words, some not so kind words.
Okay. Should we point out that one of those games is being published by the company that owns you?
You're not supposed to say that.
It's possible.
Okay.
You may point that out. I don't care.
I mean, maybe we could just leave it up in the air and not mention it.
But maybe it's kind of like a puzzle for our listeners to figure out which one that is.
Yeah, prize is sent. And I have some stuff that I should probably have some sort of contest to give away. Like, I have a T-shirt and, like, some Capcom tchotchkes and whatever.
It's a Mass Effect book.
Yeah, and a Mass Effect book. That was the other thing. A bunch of stuff that really is not very exciting, but there wasn't a lot of E3 swag.
Except for those iPods they were giving away.
Oh, yeah, which we didn't find out
I
about
totally wish
after
I knew
the
about
show.
That. Damn it. Anyway, we'll be after the break with our crap list from E3.
Terry Anderson, guys.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
I'm Alon.
And we've got about 30 people in here. This Woo! Is the this is the Geeks Gone Wild episode of Chatterbox.
Gosh. So we've also got Adam and Rich joining us. Rich,
should we take
off
our shirts?
Yes, Rich is joining us, care of the University of Advancing Technology. And by that, I simply mean that he goes there.
Yeah.
Like I did once. And if you want to learn more about it, you can go to uat.edu. Now, while you're looking up UAT, you can open up another tab on that there browser and go to chatterboxgameshow.com. From there, you might actually find the phone number. So if you're listening live, which you can do from the website, no matter where you are, I mean, unless you're in some weird country with IP banning that goes on, you can listen to us live and call us at 866-536-1100. Although today we're just going to be talking. So while I was saying I wanted to talk about things that pissed me off at E3, I had a list in my head. And then during the break, that list went away. There was one thing I knew I wanted to mention was at Sega. Did you go to Sega's booth? You saw me hanging around the Sega guy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, so I was walking around Sega, nothing really impressive that I wanted to see. And then I walk around the corner. Oh, wait a minute, that's Knights. That's Knights for the Wii.
Wow, did they actually show it?
They were playing it.
Playable, huh?
And so here's the thing.
Wow.
This was going on in my head. The guy is playing it, right? And usually, the marketing guy who's playing it will hand over the controls to you because he doesn't want to play. I'll just hand him over here, try it.
Yeah.
Right? And he kept playing. And he kept playing.
Sweet.
And I was getting the impression that he wasn't going to give it to me. And I was thinking to myself, is he just trying to be suave and not offer for me to play it because he's not allowed to give it to me?
He's like, back off, fanboy.
So I busted out. I'm like, all right, so something to play? And he almost gives the motion to yes and then realizes no. And he's like, oh, no, we can't let you play it. I'm like, but you're playing it. It's not crashing. You're playing right there. Look, it's working. And I can't play it. So they were showing the game. They were showing a playable game. He's talking about it. Talking about how the controls are going to change over time. I think they didn't want me to see it because right now the controls are traditional where you use the analog stick and that's it.
Yeah, it might be really sucky.
Yeah, they don't. No, that's better. I would rather have it control like the old one because I'm not into people tacking on Wii controls.
No, but regardless of what scheme they're using, you know, if it's early enough, I mean, that's happened to me before.
It looked exactly like the original.
Really?
I would have looked at it and said to you, that is Knights into Dreams on the Sega Saturn.
I loved that game. I thought that game was awesome. I don't really understand how it would really map well to the Wii controller personally, unless you're like...
Well, he said they're going to have...
Turning it in like...
He said it's on
degrees.
The... Using the nunchuck, using the control stick. He says that's how it is right now, but they're going to add other controls and you'll be able to choose. And I was like, well, good, because I think it's better the way it is now. But I have a feeling... This is my reading between the lines. This, he says that we can't play it, and I think it's because they hadn't put in motion controls and they didn't want me to write an article saying that it doesn't have Wii controls.
That very well may be the case.
And that's the sort of crap I want to put on a website that says these people are spinning crap.
No, but how is that spinning? Because they're just, it's really early and they don't want you to get, they don't want other people to spin their stuff. That's why they're not letting you play
it. Why don't they? I mean, he told me they were going to add other controls to it.
Yeah. Was that on the show floor?
It was.
That's probably the only game on the show floor you weren't allowed to play. That was the whole point.
Yeah, I just don't get it. If you're not going to let me play it, then you shouldn't put a controller on it.
Yeah, that's weird.
You're going to have a guy manning the whole thing to make it a video.
They should at least like have a guy like in a box play it so you think it's a video.
You know how to set that up? You just put it on video or you don't bring it to E3 and you mention it later.
Well, I mean, it could have been one of those things. I mean, these things are never perfectly planned, right? They could have been like, oh, we're going to let people play it. And then someone gets mad and, oh, you can't let people play it. And then they decide, oh, okay, well, we can't let people play it, and oh, we don't have any video, so we'll let some guy play it, and then not let other people play it. And
that's a good use of resources.
Fairly speculative, but I mean, stuff like that happens all the time.
All right, so Adam, what did you not like about E3?
Midway's hotel suite was the worst possible setup I can imagine. I don't know how a company could plan something so poorly.
Now, my counter argument is that when we left, I got the best food of any other suite. We got pretzels and a Three Musketeers bar.
Yeah, that was pretty
okay.
Good.
I'm really curious about
that
this
sounds
because
delicious.
Because right now, without further explanation, you're sounding like some kind of mocha princess.
All right, let me visualize it for you.
I don't know what a mocha princess is.
All right, so you walk.
I mean, a mocha latte princess.
They're all hotel suites, right? But this particular hotel, it's not a room. It's like a special ballroom type thing, but it's not a ballroom. It's just one of the rooms on the sides of the ballroom, and it's maybe 20 feet by 15 feet.
Yeah, maybe 20 by 20.
Okay, sounds kind of
small. It's about as big as this studio right here, which maybe a little bit bigger.
Which is about, and there were
like big cushy chairs that take up a lot of physical space all over the place. And there's only like four games you can play. There was Stranglehold, Area 51 Black Site, the
Unreal Tournament 3.
Unreal Tournament 3, yep, and Aqua Teen Hunger Force, the golf battle game. Which is something about zombie whatever is in the title. And so I think it's just those four games. And the room was jam-packed. And we literally had to like weave through people and chairs and feet to get to sit down in a chair. And people couldn't walk away. Adam couldn't sit down.
Yeah, well, it was terrible. The whole idea is you make an appointment with a company, you show up, they demo the games for you, or they let you play them, and you know you can then report on that. But you walk in there, there's 50 people packed into this room. The PR lady walks you back, and she's like, "All right, go ahead and demo games." It's like, wait, there.
Well, she did assign a guy to help us, and he sat and played it and showed it
to me. For one game, for Stranglehold.
Yeah, and
then
that
we were screwed after we got up because.
Well, we could have gone to the lady and said, "Hey, we want to see this too." And I mean, we didn't take a very proactive role there because it was so just mentally disruptive. I didn't even care.
You guys are leading into something that I have to rant about for a second here.
Go for it.
This is endemic of like all press events and E3s in past years, is that some company's demoing some game, right? They'll have a guy come and sit there and play the game for the press, and the press will just like stand there.
Sounds like a good time.
No, like let the press play the game. It's it's like they don't want the press to play the game. It's really weird. It's like they have to have some kind of like butler or assistant there to like demonstrate the game. It's like, no, this isn't what a game is about. Your press, you're more of an enthusiast than the guy demoing the game. Why don't you play the game? And you know, if the guy wants to talk while you're playing, that's fine. But it usually starts out the other way around, and most of the press is usually too timid to be like, "Oh, can I play?"
Dude, it's not my fault they don't have balls.
But I mean, is this indicative of what you've noticed? I mean, am I off the deep end here or what?
Well, I mean,
I don't really care whether or not I have to play. Like certain games, like you want to play because they're ready, or other games, like we only had half hour time slots, and like, you know, just getting used to controls can take a while. And you can learn a lot from watching someone play a game, especially when you've been playing games as long as most of us have.
Yeah, like watching Assassin's Creed, even though it looked good, I was able to see that it looks like it's going to control poorly. Yeah,
what it comes down to, is they just, people don't care. And so they're just like kind of just tacitly there watching it like, oh yeah, I'm just going to watch this thing. And I mean, you know, I've been through that. I know what that feels like.
It's also like when we were in the room, the break room before we started the show tonight, we were talking about how previews put on by the press are always positive.
Always.
Right.
I've never seen a negative preview.
It's a de facto rule.
Because it's going to look good. They'll show you what they want to show you in the preview. It's going to look good. You get hyped. And then when the game actually comes out, your guard isn't up or down anymore.
And you know, if it's a big budget game, then you get a good score. And if it's a small budget game, then they might actually review it honestly.
I remember last year at E3, with the crew that I took, the one game everyone was really excited about was Superman Returns by EA. From what they showed us, we thought this game was going to be really, really fun. And then when it came out, lo and behold, terrible, you know? And I guess that is an example where if we had the chance to actually play it, we would have, you know, we could tell the controls were terrible.
To me, there's just no substitute for actually playing the thing.
I agree.
That's just my thing.
So we only have another minute or two left here. Joe, what one particular thing, nitpicky thing, did you think was lame about E3?
I would say, as far as the show floor goes, the disturbing number of shooters, just straight up first-person shooters out there.
Oh, first-person or old-school shooters?
First-person shooters, right?
We clarify. Here at Chatterbox Video Game Radio, we do things right. All right? Shooters are first-person shooters. Shooters are, real shooters anyway. Involve a tiny little spaceship or a dude.
Shmups.
Yes.
Anyway,
I need to be clear. R and I have a strict set of rules, and you get kicked out if you don't follow the rules.
First-person shooters.
One
in particular, Time Shift, that I was really looking forward to this. One of the great games that was at the Indiecade booth used the same kind of time manipulation mechanic called Braid, and you could go back in time, and it was a platform where you can go back in time, solve puzzles using it. It's a very, very good game, probably the best independent game there. And then there was Time Shift, had the same slow down time, stop time, backup time, but in Time Shift, it was totally a gimmick. It was just a standard first-person shooter with the time gimmick.
Okay, so Was it just those two shooters you saw, or were there a lot of shooters?
I didn't write down a list, but no matter what booth you looked at, every company had at least one. And
Nintendo
you walk down there and you
had
see,
no first-person shooters.
That's okay, fine. It wasn't on the show floor.
Burn.
Right.
I don't remember seeing one.
Time Shift in particular is one that stood out to me because it was generic in every way, and right. It had such a good...
Hold that thought. Okay. Game over. We'll be back after the break.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
Welcome back to the program. My name is Alon.
And my name's Aura.
Rich, over here.
Adam.
Joe.
Bart.
All right, so it's a whole tag team here.
Powers combined. We are.
Where
are we going? We are VR.
We're a finely honed machine here.
This is.
Did you see that coordination? That was incredible.
Yeah, that almost worked. This is Chatterbox Video Game Radio. You can learn more about us at chatterboxgameshow.com. Weekly show here. You can even join in by giving us a call at 866-536-1100. Or you can even listen live on the website. Unfortunately, I'm not on the live chat right now because I don't have the old Intertron here in the studio tonight for some reason.
Gary Busey disconnected our internet.
He did it. Ghost in the Machine. Now, we do have a caller on the line. We've got Ken from Cave Creek. So I want to take the caller before we move on to some other stuff. Ken, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hey, what's up, Ken?
Listen, I'm also in the industry. I know you guys. And I wanted to comment on demos for the press. You guys are hardcore press or, obviously very avid gamers. But... there's times when I've demoed games, especially recently, the past few years, hand a controller to, someone from mainstream press and, they're like, shake their head and, nah, I don't want to play. I just want to watch. So, and,
I've noticed that.
And yeah, I've done that myself sometimes, too.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. Usually, used to be a long time ago, they definitely want to play. And now I think, since more mainstream press is covering stuff, they don't want to, look like they don't know what they're doing. Then you read, the review of the game or coverage of the game, and hey, this guy doesn't know what they're doing. So,
well, it really depends. Like, there are situations when this time around I wanted to actually play. Like when I mentioned Knights, I wanted to play one because I hadn't played that game in a really long time. I did want to see how well it controlled, even though it should control identically because their control scheme was the same. But there are other games like when I was watching Beautiful Katamari, like I didn't care if I played. I ended up playing it anyway, but. I mean, I'm pretty confident the controls are going to be what I expect. It's sure. When I come across another game like Assassin's Creed where I want to try it out to see how well it runs some shooter that, might have some mechanic that I was interested in or something.
I think that there is a certain amount of apathy, actually, among the press, whether they're mainstream or even the enthusiast press. Because I know a lot of times when, I'd go on press trips and stuff when I was part of the press or, at E3 and I'd be looking at games, I would just want to look at it sometimes and not play it because I didn't really care to play it.
Really depends on the game.
It seriously does. So I think maybe that could be a component of it as well.
Yeah, there's times when I'd want to make sure that I showed certain things or made sure that people didn't get into weird situations or, fall off the edge of the world or get stuck in some weird area or, the controls just weren't tuned enough for, casual play. So I think it's probably one of those two things.
Yeah, let me give you an example, though, of when you shouldn't show off a game. It's when your game's not ready to play. All right, it's pretty wide. I know it's vague. But if you're going to bring it to E3, you're going to put it on a show floor where in every instance when you can walk up to a game, you can play it. You probably shouldn't tell someone that you
can play. I can tell you what happens a lot of times is, the team knows E3 is coming up or whatever, and they're trying to get everything in they can visually. And then, when it comes time to get it ready, they fly a build out and stuff, and, it comes together at the last minute, and, sometimes gameplay isn't something that comes together until just before a game ships. And, all that tuning and balancing and stuff like that. It's kind of, not one of the proudest things to admit about, our industry and that, but, sometimes the last couple of weeks is when the game really comes together.
That's very true. It's common.
I can understand your point. I appreciate the argument, but I still have concern. Because in this case, the guy was playing it, and I really don't think that there was reason for me not to play it, except I really believe they were worried that I would talk about the fact that it didn't have Wii controls.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Anyway.
They should just totally put him in the box.
Yeah. What you're bringing up, Ken, is something that I think Ara and I could sit and talk about for an entire show. So I appreciate the call. Thank you very much for calling in.
Yep.
If anybody else wants to call, it's 866-536-1100.
We love our Cave Creek citizens as well.
Yeah, we appreciate it. There are some other things that we want to talk about. Like, we just mentioned some of the things that we didn't like. Didn't really get to talk about the horrible VP of marketing from Konami.
Oh.
Adam and I...
I felt bad for the guy.
We were looking at each other laughing during the Konami press briefing because...
Which was a joke in itself, the whole thing.
Yeah, this guy...
You know Bill Gates is going to be downloading, like, rootkits to your Xbox 360 right now.
Now, let me tell you, Bill Gates is actually a competent speaker. I've seen him speak several times. He's a horrible actor, but competent speaker. This guy from Konami, VP of marketing, right? That's vice president. That's not low on the totem pole. Vice president of marketing. Marketing is basically schmoozing, essentially. And this guy literally couldn't finish his sentence without... like stopping, without pausing inappropriately. And if I were to play the audio of this speech, you would literally think that it's skipping.
Maybe he was doing that to create a sense of tension.
Well, you know, the whole thing was terrible because Konami, they pleaded with us to come to their press briefing. They called me
on the
phone. They
called our cell phones twice.
Yeah, they called us to say, you know, you're really going to be excited. We have some special announcements you're not going to miss. Okay, we'll go. We got a poem the day of emailed to us about how we couldn't miss.
Oh, I got to find that.
They sent us a poem like about a special secret announcement. And then we went to the press briefing. Not only was there no secret announcement, there was no announcement whatsoever.
Yeah, basically they announced that Silent Hill 5 was being made. That was it.
Was that it?
That wasn't much of a surprise.
I didn't even realize.
Some players are saying that's the surprise, but here's the thing. Adam and I found so little in their briefing. I actually went up to the VP of marketing. I had Adam actually video record this on my camera. Unfortunately, the audio didn't come through. But I went up to him and said, hey, we received all these emails. I even got a funky little poem from you guys today telling me there's going to be some big announcement. Now, I'm not sure if I missed it, but what was the big announcement? And he's like, well, it was going to be the Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer, but then you guys saw that earlier today at the Sony briefing, so there really wasn't anything. And I'm like...
Oh, so Sony one-upped them.
But so, I could have sworn... I should look at the timing. I bet I got that email poem from them after the Sony
briefing. You did. Yeah,
even
you
if it was
did.
The Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer, that's not a huge announcement. We were expecting a new Metal Gear Solid 4 trailer.
Yeah. The bottom line is, they're just... total lies.
The bottom line is
that pissed me off.
If you're going to write poems, you have to deliver on those poems.
I'm going to look for the poem during the break. I will find it, and I'll read you this poem, which unfortunately I screw up every time I read it, but we'll find it.
All right. I got actually a couple positive things to say.
And I want to go over those, too.
We should talk about games that we liked at E3 before the show's over.
Yeah.
Everything we hated about it.
I didn't go, but I was...
I love a brief list of games.
I was present at E3 through the Xbox 360 Live proxy.
Yeah,
and so I downloaded the Ace Combat 6 demo.
All their stuff, it's cool. It goes as soon as their press conference hits on like the Tuesday night, it immediately goes live on Xbox Live.
Yeah, and that game is totally sweet. I'm really excited about it. I get excited about a game like once every, I don't know, 4 or 5 months, and that's lucky,
You're
right?
You're getting excited about a game that's like the same as a million other games.
Ace Combat 6, okay, it's probably the same mechanics as all the previous ones. I mean, it's largely the same. But the series is just so good. I can't get enough of it.
I've never gotten into it.
Except for the last two. The last two really sucked. But besides that, it was really awesome.
You could get enough of those.
I really, really hope that... I mean, it looks so good. I really, really hope that they're able to kind of do something that was more along the lines of what they did in like Ace Combat 2, which was, like, I thought, the height of the series, gameplay-wise, unfortunately.
It's such a shame that the Xbox 360 doesn't have tilt control like the PS3, isn't it?
I don't really care about that, actually.
So I'm interested, was there anything, Alon, that actually like blew you away that you were really excited about?
Well, there really wasn't much that I anticipated going into it. I wanted to see Super Mario Galaxy, which, in all honesty, actually disappointed me a little bit from my expectations. I'm still excited for it. I definitely recommend it. Because the problem with E3 is you don't get to really see a lot of the game, and the beauty of Mario is how it's so varied throughout the game.
Yeah.
So we saw a few things that were basically all the same, but I have some concerns about it, which surprised me. Echo Chrome that Sony just pulled out of their ass.
I wish that was playable.
You know what? The gameplay is whatever. I mean, I can see what's going to happen. It's just going to be sort of a puzzle game. It's just the whole concept blew me away. I was like, oh, that's something I would have never considered.
Yeah, I can't tell you about Echo Chrome until after we come back.
All right, because we need some time.
All
right, but Echo Chrome surprised me, and I was happy about that. And I've always said that I'm a big fan of Little Big Planet, and I got to actually use some of the construction tools and see. We got to see a video of some of the construction tools. It's going to be awesome.
My surprise kind of felt like getting prodded in the ass.
Really?
Yes, I was surprised as well. But
good. We'll leave that till next segment. And when we played, Adam, Eye of Judgment blew me away. Couldn't believe I actually liked it. Not that it was amazing; it was just fun. I got a blog about that on the website. We'll be right back. Yeah.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the special E3 Party Edition of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name is Ara.
And I'm Alon.
Are we doing this again?
Joe?
I am sick of doing this.
All right, good. That's right. Adam and Bart and Joe.
All right, that was actually much worse than last time. But, you know.
We try to make you feel at home, and you losers just don't respect it. Fine. So, if you don't want to be a loser, you can go to uat.edu and learn about making games like we have.
Nice one.
And if you don't want to do that and still not be a loser, you can call us at 866-536-1100.
We've got a good 2 minutes to take your call. You can also listen live at chatterboxgameshow.com.
Or send us email.
We're trying to start talking about things that we actually liked at E3, but we promised a poem. Poem care of Konami PR. So to remind you, this was sent 9 a.m., the morning of the Konami press briefing, which is the last thing in the day because it was at like 6 p.m. almost. And they've been badgering us to go to their press briefing, which I knew was a sign that they weren't going to be able to fill the seats otherwise. And they say, what better way to end your day at Konami's media briefing collecting news for a major announcement you were not expecting? And what was that major announcement? I don't know.
That they all fooled us into going to their media briefing.
Yeah, the VP's,
I wasn't expecting that.
The VP's speech had hard-coded into it the fact that the seats were all filled and thanking us for coming. Oh. It was hilarious to me. And then he couldn't even finish a sentence. And it was just as bad when he showed us games later. Like, and he said, oh, when I asked him about why there was no real announcement, and he said, oh, well, make sure you come by and see our games. Ask for me. So I did. You and I went there together.
Yeah, I had no idea who
we
were.
Couldn't even remember it. Well, actually, he remembered us, I think, but wasn't sure why we were there.
Yeah.
And then when I was
why
looking
are
at,
you here?
When I was looking at Dance Dance Revolution for the Wii, which I wanted to see because it had hand controls in it in addition to foot controls, I thought that'll be neat. He didn't know how it worked. And he was trying to, if he didn't know how it worked and said, I don't know, that'd be fine. But he was telling me how it worked and it was just flat out wrong. And I knew he was wrong. And that was funny to me. So talking about good stuff, I had mentioned I'm a big fan of Little Big Planet. I got to play some of the creation stuff. Didn't have a whole lot of time on it, but it's magnificent. It's so, I don't know what word to use. Like they built such a basic model of physics that just works, that all the other stuff you can do, it's not like you can make a square here and you can make a block here and maybe you can put a graphic here and now see what you can do with our limited set of tools. You can make a wooden block and then you can carve out of it like in relatively minute detail, not like, okay, now remove a square shape from the larger square block. You can just basically take like a pen and draw, carve out of it by using a shape and just as you move the shape over, it carves out that entire thing as you move it. So it's essentially a pen, right? So they showed some of the creation tools. Like one thing I never would have thought of was basically like the letter C made out of wood and the character walking in the middle of it. So he was able to roll within a wheel that had an exit from the inside of the wheel, right, which is the letter C, was able to use that to roll across something or whatever. And then while the I don't remember if it was the executive producer or who he was, some big guy on the game was demoing the creation tool to me. He put some stuff out there like a sardine can, which is just a rectangular object with curved corners or rounded edges, right? And then he put a star object, kind of like a flower, but pointed corners and stuff. And that object is one that constantly spins in the world when it's attached to a backplane. So you put the sardine can close enough to this, to the rotating star, that the corner of the sardine can like locked into the star knot to one of the corners on that star, and locked it in for a second. And after, you know, some amount of time, a short period, like a second or second and a half, the sardine can got pushed out of the way, and the flower thing was, or the star thing was, able to rotate some more. And then the sardine can returned to that spinning wheel and got caught on it again. And then after the same amount of time, it got pushed out of the way. So he essentially created a clock that he wasn't even, he's like, oh, that's a cool mechanic, right? I hadn't even, you know, haven't seen that before.
Supposedly.
Yeah. So
I never, my game's amazing. I didn't even know it.
Honestly,
look at that.
It would have been really difficult for him to intentionally place those in exactly the right position. But of course, if you're aiming to do it, you could try and try and move stuff until you get it right. But you could essentially create a gate mechanic, a timed gate mechanic with this totally unintentionally. And the point is that it's so robust that even the developer who's been, you know, making the game and working on it every day was able to discover something new that he hadn't considered.
So it's basically like make your own Rube Goldberg device.
Well, but at a whole level.
Yeah.
But you're running around in it.
The player mechanics are also really neat. Like, you can grab onto things and things will rotate, and you can leap, you can help other people to leap higher and do all sorts of stuff. So they built a really great set of mechanics and then let you go, you know, hog wild in it. And the fact that you're going to be able to upload your own and then rank them with other, it's amazing. And I'm really hoping that they let me in on the beta.
Speaking of mechanics, you know, I saw something that I thought was a really bad set of mechanics that everyone's gushing over and I don't understand.
Right, real quick, and this is the good section of the show.
And it's not flow. I mean, you guys will think it's good, but I was not impressed. I saw Echo Chrome, and at first, okay, I watched this video of it, right?
Yes.
So the first thing I saw was this guy walking around in, you know, this little Escher land, right? And they rotate the camera so that, you know, two paths that were disconnected then become connected, right? Not because they're connected in 3D space, but just because they're connected because of the 2D projection, right?
Yes.
I'm like, okay, wait, this is really interesting. How creative. This is really cool. And then they show the next part of the demo where there's a hole that the guy's going to walk over, right? And you rotate the camera so that the hole gets covered up, and then all of a sudden he walks behind it, and I'm like, what? This makes no sense to me. Mm-hmm.
So this is a game that the visuals, it's just black and white drawing. Like, if you've seen Line Rider,
right.
Sure, Line Rider, but it's not line writing. So you've basically got, like, black pencil marks on the screen, and you've got this dude that's just, like, meant to look like a statue almost, but he walks. And, so you get this representation of 3D space with the black drawings. It's very much like an M.C. Escher painting.
It's exactly
right,
like it.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, they should
be paying royalty fees for how they designed this game.
No, and it's clearly inspired by Escher, and they admit that. The guy who developed the system for changing a world based on angle of the world. So it's like playing inside of an M.C. Escher painting that you can rotate. And what happens is, like, there might be a hole that when the guy walks over this, you know, black circle, he falls through the ground down to whatever plane is below him, right? So he could fall and hit something else or land in somewhere else in the world. But if you rotate the world so that some vertical column is in the way,
right, so you can't see the hole, it's not there anymore.
Yeah,
then
suddenly it's gone.
This was such a severe cognitive dissonance for me. This was like my brain.
Wait, you were
just
okay
said
with
no.
Two things not being connected in one view but then being connected in another.
No,
but
that
you're
was
not
like,
okay with the hole disappearing.
No,
yeah,
that
it's
was
the same thing to me.
The first part was kind of cool because I thought that, like, okay, they kind of like consistently apply this, but the second one, it was just too much for me.
But that's consistently
too.
Applying it.
It is.
It's basically saying whatever your perception is the reality, because logically,
right,
MC Escher drawings like don't work. So
right,
whatever you're seeing is...
Actually, it's not consistent because he would have run into the wall or walked up it, not go behind it. So I thought that was rather arbitrary.
I thought about that too.
But anyway, my whole point is that it is very creative. It is very interesting. I don't think they can make a really good game out of it that lasts more than a few minutes, and I think that the mechanic in general is tedious, but that's just me.
I can't deny that it might get boring after a while. It really depends on how much stuff they put in, but it's just amazing. It was this weird concept that nobody had really considered before. It's just new. Anything
I'm just glad
new,
it's not another sequel, yeah.
Yeah, anything new catches my eye.
You know what it's like? Uh-huh. It's like the Geico Caveman commercial, which is like really funny, and now they're trying to do a whole sitcom off it, which will totally not work.
All right, so Adam, real quick, you got 10 seconds. Anything you wanted to say?
I enjoyed the narrative in Mass Effect. I'm worried that the combat will not be as intriguing as they promise.
Adam is very excited about Mass Effect. I wanted to mention Jeff Bell, the android developed by Microsoft in order to present material to us live on stage. But we don't have time for that. We might talk more about it next week. We also got to talk about what makes games good, which is a topic coming up soon. We got to go, everybody. Thanks for listening.
Good night, guys.
You've been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your bass are belong to us.